Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this study. It's been good. And Lord, what an important piece of armor. We're going to talk about this matter of faith. And Lord, thank you for allowing us, dear God, creating us with the capacity for faith. And so, Lord, help us to exercise it properly, to always put our faith in the right person, in the right place. And Lord, we ask, dear God, that you'd bless us. Help us to learn. In the next, Lord, several minutes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me give you some introductory statements here in this matter of the shield of faith. First of all, the shield of faith is clearly defined as part of the armor of God. You say, well, preacher, that's obvious. But I want to take that little prepositional phrase. It's important that we look at the Word of God. I hope this portion of Scripture, we've read it enough where it's becoming more and more familiar to you. Time you read the Bible, it's easy just to miss a phrase, a prepositional phrase, just miss one little statement, one little part of a sentence. But folks, notice, if you will, that the Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Now, that's important. That means every piece of armor is connected with God. Why are you saying this? Because there's a lot of people that talk about faith, but they're not really talking about faith in God. You know, I talked about Larry that I ran into. I think, did I say that here? Talk about the guy I ran into up in the mountains, and a man named Larry. And he was a Montana, born and raised out there elk hunting. He was in his 70s, and he stopped by our camp. We were just trading information. One of the blessings is to be able to meet the other hunters and stop and talk, and it's kind of a community within itself. So he finds out he's talking to two Baptist preachers, and he immediately begins to tell us that he's a Lutheran. And then he says, well, I'm a Lutheran, but I don't go to church. And then he said this. He looked around. He said, this is my church. And then, as if we didn't get it, he said, this is my church. And, you know, a lot of people want to talk about church, want to talk about faith, and want to talk about these type of things, but they're not really connected to the God of the Bible. And so I thought, I've got a witness to this guy. I need to talk to him about the Lord. And so a few minutes later, we were talking, and he cusses. And I said, Larry, you know, you cussed in church. He just looked like, you know, there's a lot of other things as I'm traveling the mountains that people are doing in his church that I wouldn't let him do in my church, you know, especially a lot of animals and what they're leaving, you know. And we call it sign. We call it sign, brother. I mean, where else in the world, Luke, how do I even explain this? Nowhere else but hunters up in Montana. Nowhere else but hunters will, I shouldn't go here. I should not go here. But when you're testing the deposits and seeing how soft they are, you know, who does that anyway? Derek does it. That's who does it. Derek does it. You know, have you ever heard somebody just say to you, I mean, you know, they're unchurched. They're, you know, and they say, brother, keep the faith. What does that even mean? Faith in what? Sometimes they'll say, don't lose faith. Faith in what? It's almost like their faith is defined by a positive attitude, a bright outlook, you know. The world exalts the idea of having faith. Listen, having faith in faith. Our faith is not in faith or a positive outlook. Our faith is in God. And so when we pick up the shield, it can't be the shield of a positive outlook, you know, of a sunshiny disposition, of hope for tomorrow. You know what it is? It has to be faith in God. or it's not going to work and it's not part of the armor of God. Shield of faith is mentioned in this portion of Scripture as part of the armor of God. Our loins girt about with truth. Well, can I say this? What truth? Let's just carry this on through. What truth? Whose truth? Every one of these are the armor of God. So truth is defined in connection with God. It's defined by the words, the pages of the Holy Scriptures. While wearing the breastplate of righteousness, excuse me, but whose definition of righteousness? Listen, folks, it's not our armor, it's God's armor. And it's important that you understand when you pick up the shield of faith, it is faith in God. It is faith in God. That's why we read these type of shield verses in the Bible. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of God came into Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." 2 Samuel 22:3, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation." Psalms 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Psalms 33:20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalms 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Proverbs 30, verse 5, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." So folks, remember that the shield of faith is faith in God. Number two, the shield of faith is unique in this passage because it's listed as the above all piece of armor. Verse number 16, "Above all." Wow. Think about that. God does not just go down and list this list of pieces of armor in random order. He's got it in a specific order. And a lot of times when God orders something, we assume that the first thing is the most important thing. But he stops in this list and says, "Now, wait a minute, and there's an exception to that rule here. Above all, taking the shield of faith." Folks, what we need to understand is faith activates everything that God's provided for us. Faith activates everything that God has provided for us. We're going to talk next week, Lord willing, about that sword, the sword of the Spirit. But folks, listen to me. If you don't have faith in this book, it's faith that activates this book and its principles into your life. Element of salvation, that should be the most important. You realize you can't be saved without faith? So think of this as we go down through this. Matter of fact, James chapter 1 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." I mean, folks, even the last one we're going to talk about in this matter of prayer, prayer without faith is worthless. It's useless. We're to pray believing. How about this powerful verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6? "But without faith, it is," what's the next word? "Impossible to please." And so this is the above all piece of armor. Number three, the shield of faith is necessary if you're going to be able to defeat the devil and stand in the evil day. This is what this passage is about. This above all piece of armor is necessary because the Church of Jesus Christ for these many centuries have been engaged in spiritual warfare. Folks, it's a part of it. We just need to understand this, okay? "I want to be saved, but I don't want to be a soldier." Well, part of being saved is enlisting in an army. And you know what? We need to learn to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, how do you beat the devil?" 1 Peter 5:8, we're going to do Roaring Lion Sunday, Lord willing, next week. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour." We quote that, but verse 9 says this, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Faith. "Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now think about that. I think about Hebrews chapter 11, that summary part of that great faith chapter. "What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." How did this happen? And what did they use? It says, through faith they accomplished these things. Let me make something clear tonight. Let me make a public proclamation because I need to do this every once in a while because I would like to hear myself say it and I want the devil to hear me say it, okay? The devil and I are sworn enemies. We're sworn enemies. I understand some of you Christians that want to spend half your time working for the Lord, half time working for the devil. Talk about Jesus while you're playing footsie under the table with the devil. You want to sneak around listening to his music, watching his movies, participating in his activities, getting on his websites. Why don't you decide which site you're on? Decide which side you're on. But you know, there's no common ground between me and the devil. I hate him and he hates me. It's the only thing we agree about. He's dedicated to the destruction of the gospel, and I'm dedicated to the advancement of the gospel. That puts us on opposite sides. Listen, you can't successfully live the Christian life. Let me say this. You cannot successfully live the Christian life and be a pacifist. I'm a warrior. I'm at war with the devil. Now listen to what I'm going to say here. You got scripture? Of course I got scripture. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Psalms 144:1, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Some of you are hiding in a bunker. End times, and you're hiding in a bunker somewhere. Get in the fight. Get the fight. Come on, church. We're supposed to take the fight to the devil. Come on. The gates of hell should not prevail against the church. We're supposed to go out there and get him. We're supposed to steal the devil's kids right out of his own backyard. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. He don't like this preacher, and that's fine because I don't much like him either. But you know what? We're in a war, folks. We're in a war. We better get armored up. Better get armored up. Let's talk about the shield of faith tonight. Say, preacher, think about this piece of armor that's right here. Why does he have the shield? Why does a soldier carry a shield? It's certainly the heaviest piece of armor. This is a lot lighter than this. The sword's a lot lighter than this. Why is this so important? And what is it used for? And what was Paul talking about here? Number one, the shield of faith allows for advancement. It allows for advancement. I've heard people say this, and I understand why they're saying it. Some folks say, well, this is a defensive piece of armor. All of this is defensive except one offense. But I'm going to tell you something. You haven't studied medieval warfare. The shield was used also as an offensive weapon. And you know what? It was used to push. It was used to allow the troops to advance. You know what? They would line up, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, into what they would call the shield wall. And folks, listen to me. You know, the best way to fight an enemy is from a fort or some fortress to have a wall between you and the enemy. That's the best way to stand behind a wall. Well, how do you do that when you go out into the open field? You create a wall with this shield. You'll study this and follow this and watch this. When they would advance, the commander would say, lock shields. We'll talk about what that means. But when they came to the enemy, they literally would come as a wall. Why were the Romans so effective in dominating the world and conquering the world in their time? Because they figured this out. They could take a wall, build a wall, and advance into the enemy. Not stand at a defensive position behind a wall waiting for the enemy to come, but taking each one a part or a piece of the wall, locking it into the other and advancing and pushing the enemy, pushing them as we advanced. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Folks, listen, faith always pushes, it always advances. 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. Think about it. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our, see, above all, piece of armor. You're not going to win without this piece of armor. You go out there without that piece of armor, then you can't build a wall. You can't push. You can advance. If you think about even the individual soldier, once the shield wall breaks and it just turns into chaos, the man with the shield and the sword is going to have an advantage over someone who does not have the shield. And he pushes that enemy off balance with the shield and then strikes so it becomes an offensive weapon. Okay, that's why, I'm going to get to this at the end of the message, but I'm going to jump ahead. That's why when we sing, faith is the victory, and camped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies against the foe and veils below. Let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Listen, folks, without this, the Roman soldiers, it's just another army out there, a bunch of barbarians running around, undisciplined, chaos. And you know what they did? They took the fight to the barbarians because they disciplined themselves in the use of the shield, Matthew 16:18, but I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How do we attack the gates of hell? Well, we better have our shields of faith. And by the way, we better have them locked into a faith wall. We'll talk about the unity in a minute. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, it takes a lot of strength to wield that sword and carry that shield, to push constantly and strike, push and strike, push and strike. You know, folks, when you're fighting, it expends a lot of energy. You know, I hung up in my shop when I finished my shop. You know, the shop where I go and do all of the work, my workshop where I do my work. You've been there. And one of the things I put in the corner of my shop is a heavy bag because I needed to work on cardio. And you know what? You watch boxing, you know. You say, well, I'm against boxing. Well, I'm against it too. Every time I watch it, it just irritates me, and I watch it a lot. But you know what? They got 3-minute rounds. And you say, well, 3 minutes? Buddy, you worked that heavy bag for 3 minutes. No, you worked that. Am I right, Brother Chuck? You worked that heavy bag for 3 minutes. I'm going to tell you, you'll stand there and kneel over and grab your knees and be looking for oxygen like I was up on the top of a mountain in Montana. And you know what? Fighting takes energy. Fighting takes strength. And you know what? If we're doing it in our strength, we'll run it out of strength real quickly. That's why this whole portion of Scripture says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, folks. We're not talking about taking the armor of God and then not fighting in the power of God, in the strength of God. And so it takes a lot of strength. The shield of strength allows for advancement. Listen, a church that's not advancing is not an army. There's too much of this mentality of circle the wagons, hold the fort, for I am coming. I hate that song. If I ever mentioned I don't like that song. I like the song, Onward, Christian Soldiers, not Hold the Fort, for I am coming. Wave the flag back, banner back to heaven. By thy grace I will, as I hunker down behind my, get out of here. Let's take the fight to the devil. You know, there's too many of them doing that. Just, God, are you still there? Yeah, we're hiding behind the wall. We're still here. Come quickly, you know. Man alive, the church, come on, it's turned into a bunch of pacifists. And so what we've got to do is the shield of faith. Remember, the shield of faith allows for advancements. Number two, the shield of faith provides us with protection. Now, folks, it says in this scripture, above all, taking the shield of faith. Why? Wherewith ye shall be. And I love that. Shall be. Shall be. Whenever you find that, you better think of Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll stake eternity on that shall be and then ignore these shall be's. These days I'm going to preach a series on shall be's of the Bible, man. And we need to believe them. So if we take the shield of faith, we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, one of the real dangers to the Roman soldiers when they were advancing and winning the wars was the archer. Folks, one of the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous warriors is the archer, the guild of the archers. And you know what you'd see those Roman soldiers do? They'd be advancing. They're getting closer to the enemy. All of a sudden, the commander would yell, arrows! And you know what they'd do? They would all take one knee like this. They'd take those big shields, and they'd take one knee like this, and they'd hold that shield up like that, and that shield would completely cover their body. And boy, folks, you ought to see. I mean, you read about this warfare in the Roman days, and the archers would devastate. If you didn't have the shield of faith, they would devastate an army. I mean, they could be outnumbered 10-1, but if they had archers, they'd win the battle. And you know what? Those archers would just, they just go like this, figure the distance and start releasing. You know that those archers could release an arrow one every 3 seconds? One every 3 seconds. There's accounts of this warfare during Roman times where they said that the arrows would darken the sun. Now think about that. I mean, so many arrows flying through the air at an army that would literally darken the sun. Wave, every 3 seconds, here's another wave, another wave, another wave, another wave, and they'd release 10, 15, 20 of these. And you'd have an army out there of 2,000 people. By the time they unleashed them all, their army would be a third of what it was. But the Roman soldiers, you know what? They learned, hey, we better have this piece of armor. And folks, I want you to understand that, you know, yes, the shield of faith is for advancement, but the shield of faith is also for protection. And folks, there are times to advance in the fight, but there's sometimes that the onslaught of the devil is so intense and interesting that all we can do to survive is take a knee, hold up that shield of faith, and just hunker down and wait until the arrows stop flying. Now, folks, watch this, because men, you know, you've got custodial care of your family and oversight of your family. You have to understand, listen, we're going to look around and see different people, different families that are just under some type of a satanic attack. And folks, listen to me. There's going to be times they can advance, and there's going to be time all they can do is survive. Just get on their knees. Folks, listen, when the devil's fiery darts start being launched to you, get down on that knee. Hold up that faith, because it's what's going to protect you. It's what's going to get you through it. You know, we see Ephesians, or 1 Samuel chapter 31. You remember the story of when Saul and Jonathan were killed. You know who killed Saul and Jonathan? The Bible said that the archers hit him. The battle went sore against Saul, 1 Samuel 31:3. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Why did that happen to him? Why did it happen to Jonathan, folks? I think if we would look at the life of Saul, somewhere along the line, he set aside his faith. And he didn't have the faith that he needed. He didn't have the faith in God. And so think about that. The shield of faith provides us with push. It provides us with protection. Last of all, the shield of faith finds its strength in unity. And this is where, I wish I had them. I think one time I did this on the platform. But if you had five shields up here, you see, discipline's very, very important if you're a Roman soldier. Discipline is so important. They practice this, they drill their soldiers. I mean, this is what they do, this is how they train when they're not in war. That commander will walk behind them and they'll be in a formation. And then he'll say at some point, lock shields. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's see here. Let me have three songbooks. If I can have three songbooks real quick, okay? There you go. One of you run me up three songbooks. That'd be good. All right. Brother Levi's got them here. Brother Levi, maybe you can help me here, okay? Well, we're going to do a little shield wall here. But one soldier would put a shield up. The other soldier would put this part of his shield behind his, like this, and then tilt it slightly like this. He would put his behind it like this. Now, folks, listen to me. I've watched this. I've watched this on YouTube, okay? Amen. There's these people that reenact these things. It's pretty cool to watch. We need to do this as a youth activity. We need to do this as a school activity, you know? But they show 10 or 15 guys with their shields. Listen, if I'm holding my shield by myself and something hits that shield, the only strength I have is the strength of my arm to try to keep that shield from collapsing in on me. But do you realize if there's 20 or 30 of these in a row, anywhere you hit that wall, every single shield expends energy to the point where it's been hit. Now, folks, this is why God created the local New Testament church. Amen. You know what we need? We need unity of faith. Unity. The Bible talks about unity of faith. We need to lock shields. You know, I'm sorry, but I talk to preachers all over America, and it's amazing. Almost in every church, there's always the lone rangers. There's always the ones that aren't going to get involved. There's always the ones that want to serve the Lord, but they want to serve by themselves. They don't want to integrate themselves into the ministries of the church. You know what? That's not how God created his army And that's not how you win. Okay? You go out there by yourself. I'm glad you have your shield of faith, but you don't have the strength that you could have if you were locked in unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when we call to arms, you know what we do? We show up, we get in formation, we practice discipline. We take it to the devil together. All right? And so that's how the shield of faith works. Thank you very much. That's an explanation of the shield of faith. A centurion would command, shield wall, touch shield. During the fight, he would say, discipline, touch shields, discipline. Because, see, the enemy knew that the only way that they could win against this type of an attack is to do what they call break the shield wall. And they would use all kinds of different ways to try to do this. Very interesting. The shield wall even worked against mounted forces. There's something about those war horses, as much as they would train them and as much as they would try to get them to do it, when a horse, or even the trained war horses, would run at a shield wall, if the shield wall stood firm, can you imagine a person standing there and here comes a mounted brigade crashing towards the shield wall? If you go coward and you leave a gap, that horse will see that gap and bust through it. Okay? But if you hold firm every single time, those war horses would, you know what they do? They get within a certain distance and then they would bank off. You know why? Because a war horse is an amazing animal, but it will not run into a brick wall. And in their mind, you just, listen, you know how you do that? You don't do that with one soldier. They'll come in and they'll flank you and they'll destroy you. But if you stay in the shield wall, if you stay in the shield wall, if you stay in the shield wall, let me say it again. If you stay in the shield wall, if you stay in the shield wall, if you stay in the shield wall, I don't need church. Church isn't essential. Church isn't necessary. Church is of God. Church is God's idea. He knows that we have increased power when we have the power of the assembly. And that's why I believe the devil works so hard to try to sow discord amongst the brothers. Now think about this, folks. I mean, now you young men, I want you to understand how they did this. The shield wall wasn't just a one layer. The men at the front created the shield wall. And you know what their job was to do, and what they expended most of their energies doing, is pushing forward. They wouldn't use their long swords. They would use a short sword if they were in the shield wall. And as they're pushing, they're jabbing underneath. They're trying to get to the ankles and the legs of the opponents because all of their energies here, they can't lower the shield to go over, so they're going under. But you know what? There'd be a second layer. There'd be a second layer of soldiers right behind those that have the shield wall. And you know what? They don't have shields. They put their arm in the back of the men that are holding the shields. And you know what? When they begin to weaken or falter, there's a brother behind them that's holding them up. And by the way, they have the long swords. And the first line is jabbing underneath, and the second line is coming over the top, coming over the top, coming over the top. These Roman soldiers, folks, I mean it, they would butcher armies by staying disciplined. Keep the shields touching. Do what you've been trained to do. Do your job. The fiercest and strongest and most experienced warriors made up the shield wall. You had to earn your way up the shield wall, to the shield wall. It was an honor to stand in the shield wall. Okay? Rookies didn't get a stand in the shield wall. Well, then how do they ever learn? They're in the second ranks or they're in the third ranks. You see, folks, the shield wall that was the longest and the shield wall that was the thickest, even if the other opponent used the same tactic, I want to say it again, the shield wall that was the longest and the shield wall that was the thickest, that army's going to win. Because you see, behind that second row, there's a third row. Sometimes they would have spears. Sometimes they would have no weapons. They had a weapon, but they would have no weapon that they would be using. They are there just to continue to push behind the one who's pushing. Listen, you know what? Sometimes you're in the front of the line, and sometimes you're holding up the person in the front of the line. And by the way, every position is important. Well, I wish I could fight. Some of you young guys, you got some fight in you. You're like, I'm back here on the third or fourth row. Well, you'll get your chance. Just hang around. Just hang around. But you know what? Learn the disciplines. Watch those that have experience in the fight. You know, draw courage from the courage of those fierce warriors that stand in the front ranks. I say, preacher, the only hope you said was for the enemy to break the shield wall. And you know what, folks? At times it would happen. How would they break the field wall, the shield wall? Number one, because of lack of discipline. I just want to give you, there's three ways they could win the battle. There's three ways. Listen, I want you to listen because the devil knows this too. Okay, lack of discipline. The Bible uses this term several times. I'm going to read some verses where the Bible talks about keeping rank. Think about that. Keeping rank. 1 Chronicles 12:3, and of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. And then it says this, they were not of double heart. I mean, that may be one of the most powerful verses when it comes to training young men right there. They could keep rank. Come on, they could keep rank. What position did the general put you at? Then keep rank. Keep rank. You know, we've got an army. Come on, we've got an army of Christians that are stabbing people in the back. You can't fight the enemy in front of you and be worried about the guy behind you pulling a sword and putting you down just because he wants where you're at. Come on, folks, listen to me. I've fought some battles. I've stood by some preachers. I don't know why God keeps putting me in this situation. But I've had to fight some battles and stand by some preachers. I mean publicly, go to war with some preachers because there's deacons in their church and men in their church that literally spend their full time just absolutely trying to. They can't fight the devil and be worried about a deacon behind them sticking a knife in their back. And I've had to stand beside those men. I've called down their men. I've called their men. Come on. I've dared their men. I've shamed their men. You say, preacher, you like doing that? No, I'd rather go preach on the love of Jesus. But I'm telling you, you know what? We're in a time where we have a bunch of traitors. We have pretenders. We have people that say they're in the army of God, but they spend most of their time sticking a knife in some mighty warrior's back. And so, listen, young men, that second rank and that third rank may not seem as important as the first, but you know what? If I put you there, I trust you, Joe. If I put you there, it's because I trust you. And you know what? The minute I find out I can't trust you, I'm not going to put you there. Because it's a matter of loyalty. You know, we talk about loyalty to man. I'm not going to be loyal to anybody but Jesus Christ. We want to act as if it's a spiritual thing not to support the God-given authorities of our life. I'm telling you, folks, if I can't trust you, I'm not putting you in the second or third ranks. You know, you can go back to the camp and you can cook vittles. Okay, because this is not a game. Come on, it's not a game. Most churches are not being destroyed by the devil. It's not being destroyed from the outside in. It's being destroyed by the inside out. And that is the story over and over, and I'm sick of it. There are more, listen, you can't get to this point where pride comes into your life and you're so worried about what people think about you and where your place is in the church and whether or not anybody's mentioned your name. Come on, put your stinking pride aside. Die to self. I can change some of your lives right now and erase all the problems in your life if you would learn to die to self. This is not about you. It's about beating the enemy. And so you know what we do? Wherever the general puts us, we stand there and we do our job. So you know what? All of a sudden there's a lack of discipline. Come on, I've mentioned cowardice. They can't keep rank. All of a sudden, as those war horses are coming, are they going to stop? Are they going to stop? Are they going to stop? And all of a sudden, two or three, listen, every time you study this, every single time you have somebody break rank, it affects the person on the right and the left, and it weakens their faith. And a lot of times you'll see one guy break and the other two hesitate. One of them go, a third one go. And by the way, can I just say this? I've seen that Blessed Oak Baptist Church a number of times. You ever get the point you want to be here? Could you just have enough integrity to just leave and shut your mouth? But I've never had a person leave this church. Never, Brother Chuck, had a person leave this church that didn't reach back in and try to discourage those that were on the front line and get them to turn coward also. Never. When I see somebody break, I just get ready.
Now, listen to me, all right? You guys on the second rank, well, man, I wish I had my chance, third rank. Somebody breaks rank, you know what? Fill the gap. I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge. What's that talking about? That's talking about warfare, bro. It's not talking about hedges in front of your house. I want to pray a hedge around them. You think of greenery, you know. Think of a shield wall. Somebody breaks rank, then you know what this guy in the second position does? As that guy's breaking rank, you grab that shield from him. Come on, don't let him get by the second and third without somebody knocking that man down, take his shield. Go on, coward. And all of a sudden, you know what? You know, folks, listen, I started on about the 15th row. But you know what? I just shut my mouth and did what they told me to do. And then you know what? Next thing I know, there's enough quitters, Brother James. You'll end up in the 14th before long. Come on, I hate to say it. You'll be in the 13th. You'll be in the 5th. You'll be in the 4th. You'll be in the 3rd. And pretty soon someone's going to say, grab that shield, son. And you get a chance to be in the front row. So it would be lack of discipline. Think about this. 2 Chronicles 12:38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebrew. You can't stand in that front line and be double-minded, double-hearted. You better have a perfect heart if you're going to stand up in the first rank. Joel 2:7. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Brother Chad, I haven't been perfect, but I haven't broke rank. Every decision hasn't been perfect. I have my faults, I have my flaws, but I'm going to tell you something. I've not broke rank. Okay, I had a meeting with the men. All right, I don't want to talk about this. My life verse has been changed. The verse that says 70 and 10, and I don't even need the whole verse. My life verse is and 10 right now. My new life verse, and 10. Not just 70, and 10, and 10. Come on, Brother Townsley used to stand in the front lines. Come on. Brother Jack Gordon came to me here a while back. Listen, young men. He said, preacher, my hearing, my eyesight, my reaction time. Tears run down his face. It's probably not good. I keep driving a bus. Folks, he don't owe anybody anything. He's put his time in. Okay, Brother Don Murray stood in the front ranks a long time. What happens when a guy gets too old? You know what he does? He looks behind at some young man that proved himself and said, son, I'm not quitting, but why don't you take this shield and I'll take your back. Come on, older generation. That's what we do. That's what we're doing. You know what? We work as young people up into the front row, and then you know what? There comes a point in time where we start working our way back. I'm just telling you this, and that's the way it's got to be. You know why? Because watch this. The strength of the faith of that front row and those that are mighty in strength and mighty in power with God, that needs to be more important than our egos. Okay? And so you know what? One of these days, I'm going to walk up here and I'm going to say, you know what? There's a young preacher here, and he's been pushing my back. And I'm going to hand him this shield, and you know what I'm going to do? I don't have the strength I used to, but I ain't dead. I'll just lean real hard on his back. Maybe a time when I have to go to the third rank. That's okay. Just let me be in the war. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Okay, I'm not going AWOL. Not leaving the battle. If you're still breathing, God needs you. If you're still breathing, God needs you. If you're still breathing, God needs you. That's the way this thing works, folks. It's okay. It's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Lack of discipline. Number two, cowardice. Read Ron Allen's book. Read about him talking about that lieutenant that was a coward. Every time they'd get in a firefight, the new lieutenant that had been assigned to their corps, when the other army men would advance, the lieutenant who should be leading. By the way, if you're going to lead, lead from the front. Every time he'd want to be in front until firefight broke out, and then next thing you know, Brother Ron would say, we'd look around when we were all done, and he'd be 60 yards behind us, hiding behind a tree somewhere. He said that happened, I think he said 2 times, maybe 3, I haven't
read the book in a while, wrote it, but I haven't read it in a while. He said, you know what? After it happened the second or third time, I just walked over to him, just being him, and I said, you ever cut and run and hide during a fight again? He said, I'll kill you and nobody will know it. You say, that's hard. You know what, folks? War's hard. War's hard. Cowards ought to be called out. Stop trying to spiritualize being a coward. Come on, I hate people that are used to bees that are on Facebook. I shouldn't say I hate them. I hate them posting and trying to spiritualize the fact that they're a coward and a traitor. As if they find another level of spirituality that's allowed them to check out of the battle. And that's what we do. Cowardice, how about this? Casualty. Can I, folks, remember this. In wartime, there are casualties. I've got three more sequels to the Santa Casa. It'll be seven altogether. And the next one is, I've written all three of them are written, just fine-tuning them. But the next one is the Dark Kingdom. And then that's an entire story of the battle. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to appeal to young men and put them in a battle situation in a real story where they could learn the disciplines of war. You know what part of that story entails? Casualties. Casualties. Can I say this, folks? The devil gets some of us. The devil takes out some of us. Okay? I've never had the devil, but I hate these stories. I hate to hear it. I hate to hear about some preacher falling. Devil got him, casualty. Hate to hear about some church member quit. But I've never, you know, this maybe it's the way I'm wired, but I need you to rewire yourself the same way. If somebody's taken out, I've never had somebody taken out or quit, and my thought is, well, I think I'll quit too. Anytime someone's fallen out of rank, whether it's lack of discipline, whether it's cowardice, or whether it's casualty, I just have always felt like I need to fight harder now. There's less of us. I got to fight harder. There's, you know what? Got to push harder. Got to push harder. Got to fight harder. You know, casualty. That happens, folks. Listen, his banner over us is love. Our sword, the word of God, we tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph. Folks, listen, we tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph. My daddy's up there. He did his time. He fought his battles. You know what? His old body gave out. We laid him to rest. So what do? Quit? Nope. We lost a great soldier. We're going to need some young men to step up and fill the gap. I shouldn't be begging for bus drivers. I mean, he held on as long as he could. He's in tears up here now. You see, us old soldiers, sometimes we stay in it longer than we could, should. And somebody said, preacher, you ought to slow down. I think, well, maybe I could if you'd speed up. Preacher, you ought to do less. Well, why don't you do more so I can do less? But if you won't, then I'm going to do more. Okay? Because you know what? This is important, folks. This little piece of armor, there it is. Faith. Faith. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward, onward to the fray, onward. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all girt about. I love this. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout. I want to be a part of that group. I want to be a part of, go lay on the beach if you want to. I want to be a part of that group. Come on, go out and quit church and live in carnality and play the fool. Okay, but I'm not going to be with that crowd. You know what I'm going to do? I want him to lose sleep over Jerry Ross Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know why? Because the more he tries to discourage us, the more we just press on. Press on, not in our strength, in his strength. Not with our armor, with his armor. Come on. Not with the faith, but faith in God. So, folks, that's what it takes to win. Well, that's an important piece of armor. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. This wonderful list, help us, dear God, to double check. We need faith. We need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need people that will step out
Anytime you step out, anytime you try, anytime you advance, there'll be the murmurings of those who won't. There'll be the criticism. But you know what, Lord? I've learned to turn a deaf ear to those things because there's a war. There's a war. I pray, Lord, that you'd increase our ranks. I pray that the line would grow longer, not keep getting shorter. I pray that the ranks would grow deeper, not continue to thin. But Lord, whether they do or not, Lord, help me to stay in the fight. Lord, help me not to be in a discouragement to someone else, not to quit. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to continue to see victories, victories, victories. Lord, we are not experiencing and have not through the years what this church has experienced because people that came before us had a pacifist view. They understood what we were doing. They understood what was at stake. Help us to press on. Help us to press on.